Good morning.
Good morning.
I think I'm finished rearranging the furniture now. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society, where we attempt to be open-minded and open-hearted, and we succeed a good deal of the time. A happy new year to you all. If this is your first time here, I hope you will come back because our services are different every Sunday. Sometimes I do the service. I am Sandy Ingham, Prairie's part-time minister. Sometimes people from within the congregation do the service, and sometimes we have outside speakers come in. But wherever you are on this journey of life, this spiritual journey, if you will, wherever you are in that process, you are welcome here. No matter your gender orientation, your sexual preference, color of your skin, the color of your eyes, your ethnicity, your background, your abilities and disabilities, you are welcome here. The opening words are these. These are the days that have been given to us. Let us rejoice and be glad in them. These are the days of our lives. Let us live them well in love and service. These are the days of mystery and wonder. Let us cherish and celebrate them in gratitude together. These are the days that have been given to us. Let us make of them stories worth telling to those who come after us. I'd like to do something a little bit different with the chalice lighting now. There will be four readers plus myself. So why don't you four come up, please? Heidi, Barb, Ann, and Dan. Heidi?
We light this flame in remembrance of our ancestors who kindled bonfires on the barren hills of winter to beg the sun to stay alive, to give it strength for its return.
We light this flame in remembrance of those ancient people who each new year carried new fire into their homes to cleanse them and purify them and make them new.
We light this flame in gratitude to all those people who, from the depth of history, have carried the light of life into this moment, who have preserved and handed on life's radiant beauty.
We light this flame in affirmation of the light that dwells within each of us, the light that is part of the one light.
We are not asked to look at the light, which is a good thing.
We'll get it lit.
We are asked to look at and love and praise and heal the world. This light illumines. Thank you, Penny. All right, and thank you, readers. We're sort of stumbling into the new year here.
Yes, we are.
We're lurching into it, which will be important a little bit later on in the service. For the new year, a reading by Barbara Rohde. We gather together at the beginning of a new time. We stand at the edge of a true wilderness. No one has entered it, nor worn a path for us. There are no maps. We look toward that great openness in awe of the freedom and possibility before us. Yet there is also something in us that causes us to face the unknown territory cautiously and anxiously. Now, in this place, we take time out of time to look back, to see where we have been and what we have been, to reflect on what we have learned thus far on our journey. We gather together to remind each other to seek our true north and to encourage, to place courage in one another. When we leave this place, we must each find our true path. We must walk alone, but now and then we may meet. And when we meet, may we offer each other the bread of our being. And oh, my brothers, and oh, my sisters, if you hear me plunging wildly, despairingly through the thicket, call out to me, calm me. And if you find me sleeping in the snow, awaken me, lest my heart turn to ice. And if you hear my music praising the mornings of the world, then in that other time, in the blackness of my night, sing it back to me. Amen. So who makes New Year's resolutions? I do. Am I the only one? I do, always with the understanding that January 1st won't necessarily be the only beginning of a new year, nor the only time during the year that I think about resolutions, promises or charges to myself about how I can improve, not just personal improvement, such as the usual litany, more exercise, less eating, daily meditation, daily journaling, lots more laughter. No, not just those personal promises, but also resolutions to do more to help heal a broken world. Sometimes it seems as if during January, after the 1st of January, that is, I enter into a contest with myself to see if I can beat my previous year's record of how quickly I break those New Year's resolutions. This year, I have a different perspective. Thanks to a meeting of all things, I am not fond of meetings. In mid-December, someone at a meeting of the Dane County Unitarian Universalists for Social Justice used the word revolutions instead of the word resolutions. She did this intentionally. As I wrote in the current issue of our Prairie Fire monthly newsletter, which you all read religiously, right? As I wrote, I am surprised that I never thought to replace the word resolutions with revolutions. It seems so obvious, and a much more challenging way to start the new year. Revolution is a much stronger word than resolution, at least to me. Revolution implies action, whereas resolution seems more passive. In the opening hymn, we sang these words, ring out the old, actually, yes, ring out the old, ring in the new, ring happy bells across the snow, the year is going, let it go, ring out the false, ring in the true. If our resolutions are going to be successful, I believe that they are going to have to be revolutionary. If we are truly going to ring out the false and ring in the true, then we will have to be very good practitioners of discernment. Otherwise, how will we know what is false and what is true? What is true is that which moves us, that which makes us teary-eyed. What is true in this life will touch us so deeply that it will bring either tears of joy or tears of sorrow or both. When we find ourselves, as Barbara Rhodey put it in that reading, plunging wildly, despairingly, through the thicket. We are in the realm of what is true in this lifetime. When we take time at the beginning of a brand new calendar year to realize that we are staring into what Rohde calls a true wilderness, looking toward that great openness in awe and in awe of the freedom and the possibility before us, then we know we are ringing out the false and ringing in the true. Then what? We make resolutions, or better yet, we plot revolution. We make plans, but first we consider what our intentions are for the coming year. Only after considering intention can we make plans. There's a problem with plans, though, as I said before the story for all ages. You know the sayings, the best laid plans. Da, da, da. Life is what happens while we're busy making plans. God, the goddess, the universe had other plans for us. And the one you used was a variation of one of those.
Life is what happens while you're making other plans.
Yes. John Lennon said? Yes. Clarence, the pig in the story for all ages, made plans. And as I said when I was telling this story, my favorite line in this story is, he has it all planned. And so much so that he packed very carefully. The possibility of meeting a purple horse never entered his mind. Well, there are a lot of purple horses out there. They come in different guises, in all shapes and sizes. Purple horses can be agents of sorrow and pain and unpleasantness, such as unexpected illnesses, or accidents, or death. Or purple horses can be agents of joy, meeting new people, having a light bulb moment, gaining deeper insight, realizing that you can meditate daily, finding a cause that you truly believe in, reading a book or a magazine article that takes you into a different culture or way of being and gives you a better understanding of the other. Whichever they are, bringing happiness or pain, understanding or confusion, purple horses disrupt our plans, throw us off track, and we are already incredibly off track. Much of humanity doesn't have a clue about what is true in this world. Or at least it certainly seems that way. Unitarian Universalist minister Jane Zepka writes this about the human condition in a very short essay that she titles The Idiocy of Flight. A well-known poem by Robert Graves speaks of butterflies, their honest idiocy of flight, lurching here and there by a guess and God and hope and hopelessness. Any number of quotations sound this way, and so I think do we, but privately. Publicly, we speak the civilized language of human beings who have things under control. No idiocy, no lurching. The world sees that we function well and happily. Other people believe it, and even we begin to believe it. Life moves forward, as always. Privately, though, we experience long stretches of turbulence and the occasional sudden downdraft. So many in our fellowship feel alone when things go poorly at home, when they feel their age, whatever it is, or when they grieve. So many feel alone in their money worries or career problems. Awful life situations seem to set us apart from one another. Normal lives include these awful parts. They don't always show from the outside. It's hard to believe any other folks at coffee hour are feeling the same kinds of screaming pain or emptiness or entrapment, or panic, or precariousness, or low-grade worry. Lives, even lives well lived, don't stay in place for long. At least that's how it seems from the peculiar vantage point of the minister's study. It's a help, I think, to accept the idiocy of flight the butterfly flight pattern so firmly implanted in the human mind and heart. Let the lurching, then, be no surprise, and know that we're all up there flying every which way together. Let the lurching, then, be no surprise, and know we're all up there flying every which way together. So let's try to be more honest with each other by letting our vulnerability show. Let us celebrate the fact that we are caught in this idiocy of flight that we call life. Let us praise lurching. But to do this requires patience, kindness, and gentleness with ourselves, first of all, because only then can we be patient, kind, and gentle with each other. Intentionally kind, gentle, and patient. Then we will find the energy and the time and the resources in this new year to be of use to a broken, hurting world. It starts with the intention of being gentle, kind, and patient. We'll get off track a lot. We will lurch a lot. We will despair. We will hurt. We will feel hopeless at times. Ringing out the false and ringing in the true is challenging. But if you find me sleeping in the snow, awaken me, lest my heart turn to ice. And if you hear my music, praising the mornings of the world, then in that other time, in the blackness of my night, sing it back to me. Perhaps here in this space, we can learn from the year just ending, while resolving to continue learning in the year just beginning. Perhaps here within this prairie community, we can discern what is true and what is false. Perhaps here, when we gather, we will understand our intentions better and be able to articulate them. At the top of your order of service, there's a quote by E.B. White, which I edited. The next reading that I want to share with you was written in response to the E.B. White quote. So here's the entire quote from E.B. White. It's hard to know when to respond to the seductiveness of the world and when to respond to its challenge. If the world were merely seductive, that would be easy. If it were merely challenging, that would be no problem. But I arise in the morning torn between the desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy the world. This makes it hard to plan the day. And here's Unitarian Universalist Minister Richard Gilbert's response to that quote. I rise in the morning torn between the desire to save the world or to savor it, to serve life or to enjoy it, to savor the sweet taste of my own joy or to share the bitter cup of my neighbor, to celebrate life with exuberant step or to struggle for the life of the heavy laden. What am I to do when the guilt at my bounty clouds the sky of my vision? When the glow which lights my every day illumines the hurting world around me? To savor the world or save it? God of justice, if such there be, take from me the burden of my question. Let me praise my plenitude without limit. Let me cast from my eyes all troubled folk. No, you will not let me be. You will not stop my ears to the cries of the hurt and the hungry. You will not close my eyes to the sight of the afflicted. What is that you say? To save, one must serve. To savor, one must save. The one will not stand without the other. Forgive me. In my preoccupation with myself, in my concern for my own life, I had forgotten. Forgive me, God of justice, forgive me and make me whole. And therein lies the dilemma we face always, always, but perhaps particularly at the beginning of a new year, whenever that occurs. To save the world or to savor it? To keep making resolutions or to make revolution? Not only does it make it hard to plan the day, but for me it makes it hard to plan the year. I want to have fun. I want to travel. I want to party. Life is short. I want to do good works. I want to be part of healing the broken world. I want to level the playing fields, right wrongs, bring justice where there's injustice. Life is short. Which path should I choose? Savoring or saving? Is a balance between the two possible? I have known Unitarian Universalist ministers who have been unable to find a balance, people who spend hours and hours in social justice meetings. And I admire that kind of dedication. But I want to dance and laugh too. Despite my best intentions, I want me time. I want comfort and pleasure. Who doesn't? A few weeks ago, I was on an airplane going from Chicago to Miami. Three seats in the row, three seats over there. I had the most amazing seatmates. One, only in her early to mid-20s, was returning to her native land of Puerto Rico to help her parents and others try to recover from the hurricane. The other woman, in her mid to late 40s, I would guess, was on her way to one of the islands in the Caribbean that was devastated by hurricanes. She too was on a mission of helping and healing. I was in the wrong row. Where was I going? To the Florida Keys for a family and friends reunion and celebration of some big birthdays. To save the world or to savor it? I do mourn for the state of the world, especially under this administration, especially since November of 2016. What are we doing? On Mondays, I cry. Okay, not always, but I try to set aside a day or a part of a day for reflection once a week, and this sometimes leads to tears. I am often reminded of my friend Lilia from seminary days. She saved all her worries of the week for Friday evening. And when she would start to worry or feel anxious about anything, she would say to herself, I will worry about that on Friday at the designated time. It seemed to work for her. Often, whatever the concern or the anxiety had been, it had dissipated or become irrelevant by the designated time. We humans bounce back with incredible resistance and resilience. In mid-September, as we were beginning a new church year, during joys and concerns, there was one sad tale after another. And then one of you got up and said that despite everything, personal tragedies and traumas, the state of the country, the state of the world, despite everything, life is good. And heads nodded in agreement throughout this room. My daughter-in-law had said exactly the same thing to me the day before that particular Sunday. And that Sunday afternoon, during a long conversation with a Prairie member who had been going through a lot but had not been at the service that morning, this person repeated the exact same phrase. Life is good. And we always have it within our power to make life even better. Especially for those not in the privileged circle. What is our intent in making resolutions? If we are serious about resolutions, then I believe that our intent has to be focused on becoming revolutionary thinkers and doers. One of the roots of the word revolution means to roll back. And then there is the definition, alteration or change in some matter. That won't surprise you, but a sudden, radical, or complete change, a basic reorientation and reorganization. So that's more powerful than resolution. You never know how important a relationship will be. If you read your newsletter for this month, you read about my encounter with a custodian at Walgreens. Now, I shouldn't say encounter. I had a random conversation with him, and we were talking about the depressing things that had happened in 2017 because of the Trump presidency. And that turned into a lament about how humans are not taking care of Mother Earth. And I said something about common sense, to which this amazing man said, "Sense isn't common." I had to stop and think about that one. And then he made my day when I said, "Happy holidays, whichever one or ones you celebrate." And he looked at me and he said, "I celebrate life." You never know how important a relationship will be, even a very small 2 to 3 minute one, like that one. More accurately, I should call these connections. You don't know how important a connection with another human being can or will be, even the very brief ones. One of the most important things we are called to do in this lifetime is to connect with others peacefully and gently and kindly. And that is also one of the most time-consuming things that we are called to do. So yes, we lurch, and yes, we are torn between savoring and saving the world, but we do make some progress. We should always remember that. And amazingly, we keep on keeping on. I'm thinking of, along the lines of progress, I'm thinking about all the people, men and women, who are trying to make this whole harassment mess, not make sense, but trying to make sure that it doesn't become yesterday's news, and that men, not only men, a lot of women too, and not all men, learn what women have known forever about power and sex and harassment and inappropriate remarks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And lots of people in this country are working on revolution in the political arena. With the departure of Al Franken and the swearing in of Tina Smith, there are now, I think I have this right, 22 women in the United States Senate, a record number. Still very small, yes. Lots of people are making sure that we remember those who came before us and fought the good fight for equality and peace. People we all know, like Martin Luther King Jr., but people that we don't know, like Olympia Brown. And thank you, Eileen, for pointing out to me that Friday the 5th was Olympia Brown's birth date. If you don't know who that is, look her up. Olympia Brown.
Ask Jim.
Or ask Jim. Sitting in the back there.
Yeah.
Good to see him. Olympia Brown was a suffragette, but she was also the minister in Racine of the Universalist Congregation in Racine, Wisconsin, for a long time. She was not exactly the first ordained woman minister, but she was the first ordained in a full-time and in a, what we might call an established church. It was certainly the Universalist Church was very established then. All of these things, all of these quiet working behind the scenes, helping us keep in mind the people, the revolutionaries who came before us, all of these things are a mandate more powerful than a resolution. So make plans, yes, but with the understanding that you might need a purple horse along the way. Make 2018 about more than wanting, more than resolutions. Make this new year about intentions in all aspects of your life, personal, private, and corporate, public. On another Sunday, we'll explore acts of resistance and what that might mean. But for now, let us say goodbye to 2017 and all of the resolutions we made for that year. Let us concentrate on revolutions in 2018. You might remember that famous exchange between those two well-known characters, Piglet and Pooh. "What day is it?" asked Pooh. "It's today," squeaked Piglet. "My favorite day," said Pooh. "We only have today to fight the good fight. Despite everything, life is good." The last verse of that first hymn, "Ring Out Wild Bells," says this: "Ring out false pride in place and blood. the civic slander and the spite. Ring in the love of truth and right. Ring in the common love of good. Written what? Over 150 years ago. Make 2018 about intentions. What is our intent in this brand new year stretching out in front of us? To save the world or to savor it? To quietly make resolutions or to actively make revolution? A year is gone. It matters not when it began, for it has ended now. There were other years, and some began with a birthday, and some with a death. Some with one day of the month, and some with another. Some began with a song, and others with a lament. But today I start another year, whatever the month or season. It is what lies before me that concerns me now. There will be decisions and tasks. There will be drudgery, achievement, and defeat. There will be joy and grief, all the raw stuff of experience waiting for me to shape, to fashion as I will. And it will never become just what I planned. However it may appear to others, I can turn it to knowledge and wisdom or folly. If it be hard, I can make of it strength. It may become bone, sinew, and steel, or ashes and waste. Someone might say, it all depends on what the year may bring. But what I make of it depends on me. Happy New Year. Go in peace. Greet your neighbor. Drink coffee. Stay warm.
And stay for some. There's
and
some,
stay.
There's some donuts left from yesterday.
Oh, and you shouldn't tell me that. And there are donuts.